It is good that we can all be together once again for the study of the Word as we pursue what I believe to be some very interesting portions of the Gospel according to Matthew. We are looking at that section of the Gospel of Matthew in which the offenses and withdrawals of the Lord Jesus Christ are described for us. The Lord Jesus Christ would make a statement. Certain people would be offended. He would withdraw to some private place, and there he would teach people who were really interested in the Word. We have grouped together the offenses, and we will look together at the withdrawals by and by. That means that we have skipped about in this section, which begins with the latter part of the 13th chapter and goes on over to the 16th chapter up to this point. We have discussed with you the offense of familiarity and the offense of tradition. And today we want to begin to discuss with you the offense of faith. Now, will you keep in mind, particularly if you are listening today and have not listened for a day or two, or perhaps listening for the first time, when we use the word offense, we are using the word that translates the Greek word skandalizo, which speaks of that which causes a person to stumble. Now, some of us are responsible for causing people to stumble by the way we live. We're not as clear in our testimony as we might be. The Lord Jesus Christ himself warned us that we must be careful. He said, it's necessary that offenses come, the same word, but woe to him by whom they come. He mentioned that if we offend, cause to stumble one of the little ones, we're worthy to have a millstone tied around our neck and be cast into the sea. It's a serious thing to cause people to stumble. But the offenses of the Lord Jesus were of a different order. They were not due to his lack. They were due to the blindness, to the hardness of the hearts of those to whom he spoke. For whenever he presented truth, they stumbled at it. They just couldn't accept it, just as the nation of Israel could not and cannot, apparently, accept simple faith in Christ as the reason for salvation, as the means of salvation. Paul expressed it, they stumbled at the stumbling stone. So do many of us, like the Pharisees, the Sadducees of old, stumble at the things which the Lord Jesus Christ demands of us. So today, I want to mention this offense, the offense of faith. It does not need a great deal of discussion. It's found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. And I've termed the offense of faith, because even though you do not find the word offend in these four verses, as we did in the other portions of the word, the implication that the offense was there is very plainly stated. The Pharisees came to the Lord Jesus and expressed the desire for a sign. They were not concerned with testing him now. They said, we would like to believe on you. Will you give us a sign? Now, a sign is always a reference to a miracle. The word sign is the translation of the Greek word semion, which elsewhere is used in the word in connection with miracles. Show us a sign, they said. Show us a miracle, and we will believe you. We cannot follow you unless we see something very unusual. Now, in verses 2 and 3 of the paragraph, the problem is stated, and it is the problem that people in the 20th century have. It's a problem that we all have all about us. It's the problem of discernment, the lack of ability to judge thoroughly. The word discern is the translation of the Greek word diakrino. The Lord Jesus was saying to these individuals, it will do no good to give you a sign. There are signs all about you. If you were looking for a sign, you could see it. If a sign would solve your problem, it's solved already. It's not a matter of miracles. It's a matter of discernment. The demands which they made were met by the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 4 when he said, a wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall be no sign given it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And they left them and departed. You see, he made his withdrawal. Now, Looking back over that verse, the words wicked and adulterous, let us establish, do not refer to physical activity. They refer rather to spiritual blindness, to spiritual adultery. James says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that the way you're living is an offense against God? A generation of people who is not living in the light of the Word of God wants miracles. Miracles, miracles. We want to see a miracle. May I pause, dear friend, to say that I believe in a miracle-working God. Nobody has to convince me of that. I've seen too many miracles to know that He performs miracles. He is a miracle-working God. But I do want to say this. If you demand miracles in order to believe, or if you are telling people that the only way they can see God is for miracles to be performed, and more seriously, if you are demanding miracles of God, you are, I believe, treading on very thin ice. For God does not perform miracles to satisfy the fleshly desires of men. Our God is a miracle-working God, and there is nothing that He cannot do. But no ordinary mortal can say, God, I'll trust you now if you'll just show me a miracle. No ordinary mortal need to think that God is going to perform miracles at the bidding of men to satisfy their curiosity or their empty pride. And I would like to suggest to you today that I'm concerned, vitally concerned, about folk who seem to think they can take authority over God and command God to do this and command God to do that and command this and command that. It frightens me. I must be very frank with you. The Lord Jesus said, in connection with the truth, which they were asking, proof of His deity, you want proof that I'm the Son of God? There'll only be one miracle that will prove that. And if you don't accept that miracle, then you're lost. And the miracle is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Well, we've already studied it in Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 through 40. The Lord Jesus was asked for another miracle on another occasion to prove that He was the Son of God. And He said there will only be one miracle that will be performed that will prove that I'm the Son of God. And that is the miracle of Jonah, when he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days in three nights in the heart of the earth. The story that is questioned more perhaps than any other story in the Word of God is the story of Jonah and the whale. And I'm interested in what people may do to try to prove scientifically that the whale swallowed Jonah. It's interesting, but I really don't care about it. You're not going to believe the story because some scientist comes across with reasons as to how a man could live for a number of days in the belly of a great fish. We're going to believe, or at least we ought to, because God says it was true. And the Lord Jesus Christ put His stamp of authority upon it. And that's the only reason you're going to believe it. An individual may say, I can't believe that. I stumble at that. The Lord Jesus Christ used this sign because the resurrection and this sign are so closely related, not only in the matter of days, but in the matter of faith. How do you know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? How do you know that? Oh, you say, there is concrete evidence that He rose from the dead. Well, there are a lot of people who think they have refuted that very well. You say, I believe there's plenty of evidence to believe that Jesus Christ bodily rose from the grave. Well, you will find just as many people that will present objections to you about the evidence that you're talking about, and you may find it difficult to answer. Oh, you say, don't you believe all these things? I have no problem. What I'm saying to you is this. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you must believe by faith that he arose from the grave and that he lives at the right hand of God today, interceding for us. If you were to ask me about personal conviction, and if you want to ask me about personal experience, I could keep you for a long time, but the bottom line is it's faith, and men stumble at faith. God has demanded faith as the agency through which he will work. So don't beat your head against the wall in desperation when he says, believe me. Believe me. Just believe him. And if individuals with whom you are working say, I can't do that, just remember, there is no other sign that the Savior will give. Recognize that people in this century in which we live stumble just like they did in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the message is only believe. I talked with an individual one day about his relationship to God through Christ. I presented the gospel. I explained to him what it meant. And his reply was, I can't do it. Why, said I? Because it's too simple, that's all. You're saying that all you need to do is believe, all you need to do is accept the fact that somebody died for me 2,000 years ago, and I don't have to do anything else? I can't accept that. You see, what that individual was doing was stumbling at the stumbling stone of faith. Oftentimes, we would find it easier to go out and do something than to just sit quietly, resting in the Lord, waiting on him, believing him, and let him carry on. Don't stumble at the stumbling stone of faith. Only believe, for all things are possible if we only believe. And the man who takes that first step of faith, I grant you, I tell you, I declare unto you, will not sink.